I think so. All right. It is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 8th, 2023. Welcome you all to this meeting of the mayor and the council of the Township of Clinton. Madam Clerk, have we met all the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act? Thank you very much. If you would all be so kind as to join in a flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, would you take the roll?
Councilman Blazer?
Here.
Councilman Kuchnowski is absent. Councilwoman Switler? Here. Council President Strauss?
Here.
Mayor Glenn?
Here. Thank you much. We'll begin with comments from the public for items pertaining to the agenda, or not, as it may be. Anyone from the public wish to make any comments whatsoever? Okay, seeing no movement, we'll close the public comment session. And before we begin, actually, you know what, we'll do the consent agenda quickly, and then we'll go to reports, and we have a special report this evening. The consent agenda, all items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the Township Mayor and Council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will not be separate discussion of these items unless requested by the Mayor, Council Member, or Citizen, in which event the item will be removed from the general order of business and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. Are there any items anyone wishes to discuss separately? All two of them.
I sent Carla a note on some minor typos, but I'm not fussed about them. They don't change any substance of anything.
Did you get my response?
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. That's been a lie.
Oh, about...
All right, let's pull it. Pull the one. Just pull it.
Do?
I just explained about the tax exempt.
Oh, and then they're fine. If they're fine, then.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine.
Should we have public to discuss it essentially?
All right, then we're good.
We're good.
Any items from the public's perspective that we would like to call? Seeing no movement, might I have a motion?
So move.
Second. Thank you. Roll call.
Councilman Blazer?
Here. Oh, yes.
Voting present today.
Councilwoman Switler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
And Mayor Glenn?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. All right. Before we begin the council reports, I'd like to invite the chair of the Environmental Commission and also the Township's Green Team, which is on its first anniversary. Mario Caballero, please come forward. And if you'd like to give us an update on and a report on the activities of both over the last year, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. Thank you. So I'm Mario Caballero, as you mentioned, at 10 Canterbury Lane. I'm here to provide the annual report to the governing body as mandated by the Enabling Legislation for Environmental Commissions. I think all of you should have a copy of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay. So I would like to start with the mission of the Environmental Commission. The Clinton and Township Environmental Commission seeks to protect and improve the quality of our land, water, air, flora, and fauna by advising Clinton Township on actions and policies of sustainability and environmental protection. Through education and outreach, the Commission seeks to inspire our community to incorporate environmentally responsible practices in their daily lives, which I believe you will see we have done last year. The Environmental Commission members throughout 2022 included Alex Ambrose, who was the chair for a portion of the year, myself, who was the vice chair and then became the chair, after Alex left, Sandra Millward, Doug Picotta, Jeff Barty, who is now the vice chair, Michael Lennick, Barbara Parkandi, Danielle Kearsley, Sandra Butcher, and your very own Amy Sterling, the council liaison. The Green Team members included myself as the chair, Amy Sterling as the vice chair, Umesh Bhatt, Mary Alfano, Lisanne Bartram, Rachel Sprague, Sandra Millward, John Higgins, Chris Hackett, Alison Grantham, Mike Fisher, and Kimberly Gray. Again, they were either the entire year or partial members. Next, we have the awards that we received last year. First is the Sustainable Jersey certification. We needed 150 points, and we ended up the year with 170 points. Some of the actions that we did towards the Sustainable Jersey certification included animals in the community education, creating a green team, having community education and outreach events, holding a green fair, led education and outreach, energy efficiency for municipal facilities, energy tracking and management, community garden, milkweed and monarch butterfly study, wildlife interaction plan, having an environmental commission, having the environmental commission do site plan reviews, having a clustering ordinance, having a prescription drug safety and disposal box, and having a recycling depot for any towns. Obviously, a lot of these actions were completed because we had already done this in the past, so it was just a matter of documenting those actions. But we also did a number of new actions as well. We also received the Go Hunterdon Sustainable Hunterdon Champion Award for the EV car show that we did last year. Next page, we have the grants received last year. We received two. One $2,000 grant from Sustainable Jersey PSEG Foundation. We used those grant, the money to purchase tablecloths for the Environmental Commission and Green Team for future events. We also purchased yard signs that we are planning on reusing every year to advertise the Green Fair and the EV Car Show. And we also purchased some notebooks and pencils to hand out every year. We also received a $1,500 ANJEC Association of New Jersey Environmental Commission's grant that we used to purchase 8 educational signs for women. In terms of events, we did quite a few last year. We started the year with an educational walk at Beaverbrook, March 26th. We partnered with Highbridge, the Highbridge Environmental Commission and Green Team for that. We also did a stream assessment at Windy Acres with AmeriCorps New Jersey Watershed Ambassador. And on the bottom right picture, you can see Councilman Switlick measuring the velocity of the stream by measuring the rubber ducky to see how fast it traveled 10 meters.
The person I know.
Math of science. You got to get back to that.
Yes. Next page, we have Community Day, April 30th, where we had two tents, one for the Environmental Commission, one for the Green Team. In that event, as we typically do, we handed out 200 tree seedlings. We also used the opportunity to advertise upcoming events that we were hosting the year, and we also raffled a rain barrel that we had left over from last year. A few weeks later, on May 7th, we did the well water testing event with Brereton Headwaters again, and we had 39 residents participate in that. Next page, June 25th, we had a Spruce Run educational walk where we partnered with the New Jersey State Park Service and also the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. We had about 25 residents participating on that. And on July 9th, we had the Green Fair, which on the right side you can see we had about 20 different organizations participating, where we handed out over 150 reusable grocery bags that were donated by ShopRite, and also the notebooks that we were able to purchase with the grant from Sustainable Jersey. On the same date, we also had the electric vehicle car show at Van Park. We had 12 plus models because we had a few electric vehicles coming in and out throughout the event. Of note, we also had the only electric vehicle police car in the state of New Jersey participating. September 17th, we had a Windy Acres educational walk with the Hunterdon County Parks. Laura Bush was our leader for that. On October 23rd, we had a school workshop at Echo Hill, again, where we partnered with the Hunterdon County Parks. November 2nd, we had a seasonal nature walk at the Arboretum, again, partnered with Hunterdon County Parks. And lastly, on December 10th, we had the Evergreen Walk and Swag at the County Arboretum as well. Councilman Switlick played a pivotal role in coordinating all of those events, so thank you for that. In terms of actions, like I mentioned, we distributed 100 white pine seedlings, 100 silky dogwood seedlings, 150 reusable grocery bags, and 50 notebooks and pens made from recycled materials throughout the events. And we also installed 8 educational signs for the Windy Acres program. We're also very proud of having new partnerships. Last year with the Environmental Club at Northampton High School. This year we are working together on creating a pollinator garden on their campus. And also the Hampton County Environmental Sustainability and Engineering Academy, where this year they're helping us conduct a road salt study. Next, we have our social media updates. So most of the events that we advertise were via social media. I put our Facebook numbers here. The Environmental Commission has 209 followers, the Green Team 168. As you can see, this is from January 1st to December 31st, 2022. The page reach for the Environmental Commission increased by 36%. And the Green Team increased by 7,700%. But obviously because it's a new page, so we didn't have that much followers. For this year, we also had a Twitter account as well, which advertised some of the events. And we're hoping this year to also start looking at Instagram so that we can reach a younger audience. So that's the report for 2022. For 2023, this year, we have a number of goals already outlined. We are conducting a walkability study in the Annandale Village. We are doing a bicycle study around Bond Park on May 8th. We have scheduled a first responder EV safety training at the Hampton County Emergency Services training on June 8th. We're doing a spring cleanup event with Raritan headquarters on April 15th. We're doing a spring litter cleanup event on April 22nd, partnered with Basecamp. We will also have our tents during Community Day on April 29th. We have 4 educational walks that have been scheduled, March 12th, May 13th, July 31st, and August 17th. This year, we are having the well water testing event at the same time as Community Day, so we can have a wider reach of residents. We just have confirmed that we will have, again, a Green Fair on July 9th and an EV car show. This year will be bigger and better than last year. We are doing a spring assessment on May 6th. We still don't know the location. We, like I mentioned, we're working with the Northampton High School creating a pollinator garden demonstration project. We're doing the road salt water monitoring study with the Hampton County Environmental Science Sustainability and Engineering Academy. We are doing a bulk tree planting event at Windy Acres on April 8th. We also continue to partner with surrounding environmental commissions, green teams, and Go Hampton on different events. This week, we also heard that we were officially assigned as the sponsor of the Annandale train station under their Adopt a Station program. And we're also looking into completing the complete streets policy implementation and some of the equity and diversity and sustainable Jersey actions as part of the
community.
Good.
Very busy.
Yes.
What's a complete street policy? We need to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
There's been, it's something that I had considered for a while, and requires some research, but I haven't been able to fully delve into yet. The DOT PCA offered a policy that, in fact, I think it may help us get some grants. I think it's along the lines of, when you're putting in new developments, mm-hmm. they should have sidewalks and pedestrian. Okay. They should always keep in mind pedestrians and bicycles in addition to the
vehicle.
Something that Prince has been doing for a while, and the underpinning philosophy is that the streets are there for
everybody, pedestrians, cyclists, and vehicles, not just have it be automobile centric. And, you know, so they put things like we did about the belt pits, and as we put in the sidewalks, sharrows, you know, things that I don't know what we're making.
That all in the 90s in our big development, we had very few sidewalks outside of the village. Pretty much every neighborhood has those sidewalks.
Might be pretty soon. Slightly different
characters. Well, that's the interesting. Well, but for objectively a good idea.
But for something along Deep Rabbit, especially if it gets us more points to get a grant, it's something that we need to take a look at. And I actually had made a note to talk to you about whether or not we should be in the grade thing.
But it does enable it is sort of a shift in philosophy a little bit.
Right.
Looking more holistically at transportation and that it's not just about the
automobile. And, you know, I could argue that if the Grey Rocker developer comes to pass, that's an area where you'd say, oh, maybe we try to enhance some walkability there to the bus station.
It's one of those things, though, you want to make sure that devil's in the details and we don't put it in and then we're beholden to certain things that we later find that we regret having done. So I just have to,
if we're repaving a neighborhood and have to put in sidewalks and do rights and ways, and that would be hard.
I don't think it's that way, though.
Okay.
I don't think it's that.
It's new development and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we'll take a look.
Yeah. I wonder if we could help with getting a grant out by the affordable housing up north on 31. Could be where we build some sidewalks there.
Not much, though.
Not much sidewalks?
No, I don't think we have to do very much.
Okay.
There's already a crosswalk there.
Right. But we need to go that stretch.
We just have to connect to the walking path, which when you go out and look at it, isn't very
far. Okay.
That's not very far. And the developer along 31 would be responsible for some of it.
Oh, perfect. Okay. But then the road salt project sounds pretty interesting. What does that involve usually?
Yeah, it's part of a statewide study. Mm-hmm. So we're basically having the academy students test the water at four different locations throughout the township to measure the salinity of the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they need to report that to the state website where all the data gets combined and calculated.
Mm-hmm. And what they find in the streams could have originated further upstream.
Correct. Yes, we're doing four testings throughout the season.
Oh,
so, yeah, before, after a road salting event, and then after a snow event.
Yeah, I think that's
the
initiated
this study.
I do too.
I'm curious to see how it ended up. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, if you fish tank and put some road salt in, what happens? So. Right?
We like salt in America. When I worked in Canada, they did not believe in salt. We just drove on snow, carefully. Very different philosophy. And a lot of times without snow tires, which is a lot of fun.
Very careful.
Well, no rental cars in Canada have snow tires. Dirty little secret. Terrible. Very good. Thank you, Martin. This is great.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah. No, I had a few, actually. First of all, I want to commend you. Such a great job, and your level of enthusiasm is awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. And although I was only there for a brief time, I spotted that right away. I was on my way out, and he was on the way in. I knew he was about to move in. So at the Huntington County Fire Chiefs meeting last week, Braden Fahey, County Director of Public Safety, brought up this electric vehicle on June 8th. What time is that?
It's going to start at 7 p.m., maybe.
Okay. So he also pushed it out, and there was a lot of interest from the fire departments that were headed there. So I would anticipate a very large turnout.
Good. Yeah, so he's taking care of recruiting all the different first responders.
Okay.
It's not only for fire departments, it's also for police and EMS. So he's taking care of recruiting all of that, and then I'll take care of recruiting all the EVs. Basically, it's an hour-long theory in a classroom setting. And then all the first responders go outside, and then they take a look at the cars, mm-hmm. so they can see where the emergency cutoffs are, and any other safety details that they need to know about the different cars. So the more EVs, the better, because there's a greater variety.
Sure.
All those cutoffs are not standard. they're not always in the same location, so the different models that they are exposed to and the better for them.
And lastly, it reminded me when you talked about the pollination garden that they're doing at high school. There's a municipality, and I think where I read it, is doing a community compost drop-off. You know, people can, you know, not come and dump the trash, but I just, you know, using compost, and then later on can be redistributed. So I'll look that up and I'll let you know.
Yeah, that might be something for next year.
Definitely next year.
That's something you'd want to coordinate with the community garden or something.
Yeah, I want to see, though, how they're regulating it and so on.
Yeah, actually, one of the exhibitors at the Green Fair, he has a company where he goes around and picks up food waste from residents, I think it's every other week. So you pay a monthly fee, he picks it up, and then when you need any compost delivered, then he will just deliver it.
Yeah. Other than that, thank you.
Very good. To everyone on the committee.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We're about four there.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Very good. We'll now get to the meat of the reports, Councilman Blazer.
All right. I'm just pulling mine up for my notes. The planning board made our regular. We had a regular meeting Monday night, two nights ago. It was a unique meeting because we had really no business to conduct, literally none, no vouchers, nothing. But we spent 2 hours during a working session on the master plan re-exam, going through a draft document that our planner Tom Barron's prepared, and then talking. We didn't really go through we did talk about the master plan amendments too. So we spent a couple hours on that, had some comments given back to Tom, some homework given to the working subcommittee we're working on. And this covers kind of the three main topics I've kind of talked about in the past. The Highland Center designation, which is a township we've been working on for years. Some potential changes to the H9 zone, which is the project on 31 here north. And then it's the Route 31 rezoning we're working on forever. We're trying to handle the mishmash of current zoning and sort of clean that up and maybe, with along with the Highland Center, steer some development in those corridors that we want rather than maybe elsewhere. So that will be hopefully on the agenda for the 6th would be an adoption of the master plan. If the planning board is done with the draft, it could change and it could be tabled and pushed out. And then a hearing on the master plan amendments would happen that night as well. Again, if we get to it. I'm not sure. There may be applications to add in committees. Sewage Authority had their regular monthly meeting last Thursday night. After they did their annual reorg, which was, I guess, called not eventful, all the officers were reelected, all the professionals were reappointed, pretty standard. All routine matters were covered. They do seem to be making progress on the good progress on the coordination between GoTech and the pump station upgrade, but those are two happening literally in the same spot. They've come to the agreement how they're going to coordinate with one another. The holdup right now is both parties, CTSA and GoTech, are waiting for state approvals to send out their bid packages. So no bid packages out, no bids come back, no contractors awarded, no construction can start. So they're pushing all the parties. I know CTSA and the engineers have been in touch with DEP to say, hey, we've given you all the paperwork, but it's kind of like pushing water uphill. So we'll see what happens with that. But it moves along nicely. Their next regular monthly meeting is Thursday, March 2nd, and they will do the rate hearing. They're in a rate hearing where they'll discuss the quarterly increase I described in their budget for 135 to 40 to 130 quarter to 135, first increase in several years. The Finance Committee, I know Tom and I hope to have a first meeting with the administrator and CFO once they're at the point they're ready to have a meeting because they're still working through the background process.
The budget process, the administrator just finished, I think, finally late last week.
Very good meetings with
very,
the
very late.
I heard.
So I had a couple late nights last night. I bumped into them on occasion.
Yeah.
Were those?
Oh, I know a lot of work is happening in the background. That's why I said to Tom, we're waiting on the progress of the five frame.
It is a zero-based budget. It is It is a very much ground-up, a lot of detail, a lot of time, a lot of investment.
Right.
So
good.
When it is ready for finance, I think it would be solid.
And then the canvas subcommittee, I haven't really heard much from the interested party, and I've reached out to them, haven't heard much back. I think the ball is a little bit in his court, but also maybe in our court, when we think the agenda could accommodate a working session. I just don't know. There's stuff coming up, so I made no commitment to him. I said, when we can, we'll get back.
He doesn't want the public to know about that way in advance. Because this is the first time we're reviewing something like
exactly.
that. Exactly.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, that's why we've talked about it several times.
It's a learning experience for all of us.
Yeah, and that's sort of what Brodley have been talking about, what the micro licenses are, why he thinks it might be a good thing to put in township. That's sort of what I told him. This is a broad conversation, and then we can have some dialogue with the public at school listening session. Yeah. Public can talk at listening session.
Whatever.
It's up to
the
council.
I would
put
a of course, yeah. But certain individuals are not mentioned. Any individual, I mean individual.
But if you look ahead at the calendar, Brian, is there a time that I should steer towards? Is it the end of March at this point? We've got
it might be April at this point. Okay. There's a lot.
We'll get to my report. We've got a lot coming for the next meeting. This is going to be very light. The next meeting is going to be a little bit heavier.
March is heavy.
March is going to be pretty busy with all that ordinance.
If it comes, and hopefully it does, that's the length. And it's a lengthy ordinance. I'm going to apologize in advance.
And there's more than one.
Yes.
So that'll be there, and then we'll have the budget introduction in March. Also.
Right.
It'll be busy.
I'll steer to me April, then how about?
We want a real working session.
Right.
April, late April, early May.
All right, I'll steer him to that, so just that's good. And that's all I've got.
Well, thank you.
Well, I don't have to report on the Green Team or environmental.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Mario. The only thing I'll add is environmental met February 2nd, and our next one's March 2nd. And the Green Team met January 10th, and the next one's February 21st. So open space I'll report on. We met on January 26th, and our next meeting is February 23rd. I had a call with the Hunterdon Land Trust of Jackie Middleton today regarding two items. One is the Allerton parcel over there that we're interested in. We really could use your guidance. It was a very productive call. I forwarded her all the information, tax information, acreage maps, wetlands, everything I could. So she's going to contact someone at Green Acres on our behalf just to see where we stand. So I'm feeling a little positive about that. It's 44 acres. It's not like it's this huge, huge, parcel, but it's, the cohesive trail system from Voorhees, that would be one heck of a trail system, from north to Bluff Park. So you'd be connecting a 5K a playground, right. Playground, disc golf, to basketball courts, community gardens. It would be a great system. And when I spoke with her, she did say that's something they definitely look for. Like if there's a list of properties, that's something that they would go for. So I think that's.
And there's, I thought it was kind of swampy. It's like air.
It's like 70% wetlands. So
we have to steer around that. Like kind of build the trails very carefully.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm on the board of trustees, so whether it was just like
a
report,
if it
was.
Oh,
I'll be quick, but I still
have
a little discuss it.
That's okay.
I
didn't
realize you were there.
Oh. I did, but I didn't think.
Oh, that's so good.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
So continue.
Oh, okay, so at any rate, we're going to see if this is something we should do with Green Acres. She also said there's a possibility we could use our open space funds. Talk to Bill Millett, mm-hmm. got county funds. Mm-hmm. So she's going to check out Green Acres first.
Good.
See where we stand, and then we're going to go down that path. Mm-hmm.
Other people's money is always good.
Other people's money. All their time is a lot.
Well,
in the scheme of things. I spoke to her also about the Springside Nassau Trail management plan that has been worked on. I think John Deegan, the mayor, at the time was also starting.
It was.
I remember working with him and us wanting to strangle. So it's still going on. I just need the latest.
I'll get it to you. I saw the email, but I only saw it in passing. So I'll send you everything.
I talked about the management plan that they had done, and I said we're looking for something similar. This is at this point, it's sort of out of our. Level of expertise. She was a little hesitant because it was stemming from a violation.
I won't put that on her. I mean, the stuff that's
really violated. I said to her, listen, we just need a regular management plan, and highlight these tree plantings. That's, when the last I worked on that project, that's where I was at. So as soon as we...
And I can speak with her directly, isn't it?
That's fine. That's fine. So I just need to get her the last management plan and whatever Tony wanted. And then she's gonna review that. So that would be huge.
Yeah.
If they could just help us with that.
Today is Wednesday. I have a very busy couple of days, but I can probably get you something.
Yeah, just send me an email sometime. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a productive call. Very nice. I look forward to working with them in the future.
Good.
Very.
I'm glad. We've been on my list for a year.
Yeah, but I'm glad.
We haven't
did.
Been able to get.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys met me.
Yeah. It was good.
They're a resource and they're local and they know the
ins
and outs.
Yeah. 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 We definitely find
you
for some of these things. The ANJAC grant that we talked about, $1,500, that went towards the eight signs. I'm trying to get reimbursement for that. It's very simple. I'm going to fill out the application, get everything done. Only thing is they want the pictures with like the EC members, so we're meeting next weekend, just to pose next to it. So that should be done. It seems pretty easy. The bulk tree planting, that's getting a little more complicated because of the time. The trees are available. We're using, everyone on Open Space agreed we should use heather. We're using quality, not quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do 100, if we do 112 trees, that should be enough versus like doing 200.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to use her services. What we'd like to do is she's going to teach us and show us. She's picked up the species we need for that property. She's been there a few times. So I'm very happy and comfortable with having her there doing it. I also want, I was going to ask Les, but someone else on Open Space and myself to be thoroughly trained by her that day. So we would be able to do this in the future properties other than Woody Acres. Woody Acres is just, there's so many ash. I mean, the hunters can't even put their stands on there because the way the trees are falling down, literally.
And it sounds like other municipalities are cattle reserves.
They are. She is marking, and we're going to probably hire her for that, but we're just going to take one thing at a time. Especially, finding out who will be our parks foreman and their level of expertise. She will go in, and the county's hiring her to X off all the trees that need to be tended to. And then we can pick away at that, look at what ones we can take care of, and then find out, ones we need to set out. But the idea originally going in and taking them all down, it's just there were so many negatives to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of money, number one. And it would just destroy the property, just as the key. It would just destroy it. Exactly. The damage of the machinery going in.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's right next to the C1 stream. It's just, so we need to take away that. At any rate, the bulk tree planting will happen. The date is not solid because we have to figure out when the trees can be delivered. So all of April is all booked with EC and whatnot. I'm going to be grabbing one of those Saturdays.
Where did the trees come from? Is it from the county?
No, it's Open Space funds.
Oh, okay.
Other trees. And also, shrubs. It's not just trees. She has a nice mix.
Right.
So we're going to need the volunteer. She said 6 volunteers is enough. I have some Open Space members that are willing to work that day. I have some friends that owe me. It's not like huge trees. They're like a foot, 2 feet.
And there's James.
And there's James.
Oh, there's James.
Okay.
Can I put a plug in for future tree planting, maybe somewhere on Marukian, blocking a certain affordable housing?
I don't.
Buffer it somewhere? For long
I don't,
buffer?
I don't
know. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
We just have to.
We won't be ready there for a long time.
Correct. And we need to break the playground.
But exactly. That's why plug for future.
Because I think there should be some plantings around the playground for shade purposes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So we could tie to that, but then I think we worry about our open space property craft. Like it's kind of the issue things you drive on 31.
Right. Yeah.
So they're really set back.
Right. Right.
It's not this piece, but what they look like.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So then Les and I will be able to instruct people on how to do it.
Great.
But even so, I still would always want, especially Heather, who has watched all these properties, has given us a management plan to specify exactly what species we need to use. But then when it comes to volunteering, then we will be able to. Because we're using her services, we're hiring her that day.
Right.
To not only guide us, but train us.
Right.
Properly.
Great.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I've been waiting a year to do it, and it's like, we've got to do it now.
Yep.
It has to be in April.
Yeah.
You can't wait till June. It's too late. So, That's it.
Thank you, Mayor. So Clinton Township Board of Education, there's really not much going on. Their next meeting is in March, where they plan to do a preliminary budget presentation with the hopes of a final budget presentation in March, Historical Preservation Committee, there was no meeting in February. However, the next meeting is Wednesday, March 1st, as of now. For public safety, Chief DeRosa did circulate his reports, everyone's seeing. I did speak with via email and also the mayor with the fire chief as they received the ISO letter. And I didn't see any bottom on that, although we did have a phone conversation.
I have the report now too, which I briefly looked at this evening. We should talk.
Okay.
I don't know what's changed.
Okay. Where the electrical work was finally approved at Station 1, so that should be parts that do, if you will.
Yep.
And I spoke with Jay today at Station 2 to contain troubleshoot some electrical issues down there as well. EMS, after our last council meeting, Chief said in the board meeting report, I think Carl had distributed to the council, and I did not receive anything from OEM. And I did have a conversation, and the mayor was a part of that email, about looking into background checks for certain volunteers as well as volunteer files. That's all I have to report.
Very good. From my perspective, the rec committee meets on the 6th of March as they prepare for the Easter egg hunt, and then they've got Community Day coming, so that's going to be their big thing. Again, Community Day will be April the 29th. A non-recreation matter that lingers, unfortunately, the old municipal building. The good news is they have submitted for their application, their reapplication at the planning board. Assuming that everything is in order, we'll push to get that on an agenda as swiftly as possible, but we'll have to just make sure everything is in line there. On the personnel front, we've got hopefully a decision on a parks foreman scheduled for the end of this month. The next meeting is my hope. I'm going to knock on wood there. There will be an interview for a deputy court administrator candidate this Friday. That is at least on the books, and hopefully we'll have sufficient folks in attendance. I saw this morning that, or this afternoon rather, that the Petticoat Lane project was approved to go out to bid by the state. So I'll talk to the administrator, get that piece going. I know that the Public Works Director Eichsel is looking into milling and paving an additional section, a good chunk of it, that is in disrepair from where that rebuild project will occur.
So maybe spring or summer of next year?
This year. Of this year.
Yeah.
For which piece?
Well, how long is the bidding process?
I would hope the mill and pave will be the summer. I would suspect that the
fall.
Late summer, fall for the rebuild, reconstruction, provided that it comes in within budget.
Yeah, that's always.
So we'll have to see how it goes.
A lot of
you have the engineer's estimate and the budget, and
yeah,
we'll see. But fingers crossed, I think we'll be in good shape. And then, as mentioned earlier, we're going to have a number of ordinances coming before us in the next few meetings. We're working on one to address the lead paint law and the requirements for municipalities to ensure that when rental units are relet, so to speak, that they're checked for lead paint and then they're remediated. So we've got to put a process together for that. Many towns have a rental rental unit registry. We do not, so we've got to create that.
I thought they were requirement in the ordinance that people are supposed to register in their rental units. I only know this because I looked at it once in a while before the condo association.
Mm-hmm. We have a form.
Do we have a process?
There is a form.
Are we? Do we have a registry? Is
well,
the
that's
form.
No,
so
we're keeping it at your bottom.
Okay, so we've got to work on maybe a process, and we'll just need to make sure that the ordinance language that is on the books is adequate. So we've got that coming. We also have a business insurance registry that we've got to Both of these are statutory requirements by the state. A lot of towns have finally gotten around to doing them. We are now too. So those will be coming in addition to the ordinances that you mentioned and what we've got. On docket, so to speak. And that's all that I have at the moment that I can think of. So, moving right along, we'll move to the first resolution of the evening, of two. Resolution amending the temporary budget for 2023, just a few items. Temporary budget can only be, I think, 26% of the total overall budget.
6.05.
There you go.
We did 26.25 last year, so we're topping it off.
So that's just putting some more money in a couple different line items so that they can be spent.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlet?
Yes.
Council President Strong?
Yes.
And Mayor Moore?
Yes. One other item before we move on to the next resolution, from which I must recuse. So, Council President Strauss, you're going to have to run the show on this one. I meant to mention, for those listening on the audio, we have on our list trying to find a better audio solution for the... Oh, because the quality of the audio is not the best.
Okay.
It's the system is a little old and it's failing, so we need to... replace it, I think. So the clerk and the court administrator and the planning board administrator, zoning administrator will have to take that up. So with that said, I'm going to step out because I've had a recent item that may pose a conflict and let Council President.
All right. The next resolution, number four. A resolution approving request by Clinton LIHTC Urban Renewal LLC for reduction of performance guarantee for the Clinton Woods Affordable Housing Development, Block 82, Lot 4.03. Discussion on that or question?
Yeah, I have a few. I want to understand why we must have a short formula for people when they're going for an application such as this, especially the magnitude of it.
We'll switch to their off-site approval.
Yeah, this is really routine. It's just sort of the...
It's a meat pie.
Well, yeah, they posted a guarantee for a whole slew of improvements that will eventually become public
sidewalks.
And as they're
this was for escrow.
No.
This is a different...
No,
this is a different...
Unrelated to...
Okay.
No.
Okay.
This is really...
I understand where you're coming from that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say, he left, I'm like, why?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
On the
municipal land use lot, as the improvements are completed and determined to be acceptable,
Understood.
To reduce the bond accordingly. In
right.
this case, they've actually completed a very large percentage of the
85%.
More than 70%. Yeah, I think around 85%. However, the law also says that you can retain 30% of the bond until everything is completed. So basically, in this case, that's what this would be doing, is reducing the amount of the bond that's posted down to 30% of the original, which will cover whatever remains to be done.
So this is typically done?
Yeah. Absolutely, and it's always based on a report from your engineer.
Right.
That engineer goes out, he inspects the improvements, confirms that they have been done, everything done correctly per the approvals for the ordinances, and then what you're doing by releasing, those improvements from the guarantee. And then that's also accepting those, basically those improvements that are under
the This is, but the subject, this is a matter of by statute. To
this is entirely statutory.
Yeah, because they've completed, they've done what the performance guarantee was for, so it's... It's almost ministerial.
Well, no, I saw the checklist. I'm just curious as to why this happens after the fact. Like, why is this happening after?
Well, this is the before because they paid the Pearl, put up this money maybe 2 years ago. I don't know the exact date.
No, it was last year.
I mean, so they put up, and this was for the, let's say, the sewage improvements, the water improvements,
Belgian block along the road. I mean, I'm forgetting all the
elements. Yeah,
and they completed a lot of it. Okay. The big item that's outstanding is finishing some of the sewer side doing the connection onto the interchange on Bi-Regional Road.
Okay. And I would
imagine
the final paving on the
road
itself.
Yeah, because they have the rough course for now. So this is kind of the normal part of construction. It's just a bigger number than we used to see because it's a much bigger project.
Yeah, and it's just sort of...
Yeah. And it's really, we're refunding their money because they did what they said they were going to do. And Larry's inspected and he's satisfied that they followed...
No, I saw the checklist.
Yeah.
I saw the checklist.
Yeah, he went through and looked at every item. Right?
Yeah, and obviously under the MOUL, unless there is an issue with the improvements such that you don't want to accept them,
right.
You have to implement them. So it's not really discretionary, you know. If there's an issue with the improvements, Larry would find it. But then at that point, you say, no, we need to do it for problems, we're not accepting the improvements, and we're keeping them.
And then that's actually one of the benefits, keeping the 30%, even though they may be a little bit more, because if the budget was off for some of these things, or there's a bigger problem than we thought.
Okay. Thank you for that
explanation.
What?
Yes. All right, I'll look for a motion to move this forward.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second. Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switwood?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
All right. I'm back. May I have a motion to pay the bills?
So move.
Oh, yeah.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switwood.
Yes.
Council President Strauss.
Yes.
Mayor Bob.
Yes.
I would note it's a big number this time because you're paying the county and high school.
The library tax was in there, open space.
Yeah. It's like, wow, I haven't seen such a big number in a while.
Okay. The last item on our agenda for the evening is the introduction of an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Part 2, General Legislation of the Code of the Township of Clinton to establish permitting and other requirements for special events. Now, this is a topic that originated probably a year ago when prior Administrator Mekovitz was with us. They have a similar process in Reddington,
right?
They're, at least by my looking, but I may not have seen it or searched correctly, the town of Clinton has a forum and they do approve special event permits. However, I couldn't find anything really in their ordinance. The idea here is that there are certain events in town that occur on private property or even in the public roads and public property that can pose some traffic issues or that otherwise are not permitted by the use of the zone in which they reside. And rather than having the zoning officer go tell a business owner or a nonprofit or what have you that they can't go forward with that event, thought it would be more prudent for us to have a process in place to review that, to really make sure that the police chief has had a chance to look at it, the fire chief has had a chance to look at it, all the building code official, the fire inspector, make sure that, and health department, make sure that all of the factors involved in a larger gathering are done in a manner that's safe, especially safe for the public, on-site and off-site traffic, that sort of thing. So I wanted to bring this forward before we got too far into special event season so that we could do some of those things and not run into issues. It's a draft. It is pretty close to the one from Reddington, Christian. Very close. Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly open to conversation and to edits. I just wanted to really get the process started and the discussion started. I know I have a couple of thoughts and just questions for the group. I can start with those. I mean, my first question is the fee too high? Is the appropriate? And do we want to have some type of waiver? So, I mean, if there was an event, I could think of like...
Right.
Or a nonprofit, perhaps.
Well, so I don't think...
Or reduced fees, or...
Yeah, so you would want to... First off, the fee itself, I mean, that's just... That neighbor number came from it. You may or may not know what you want to charge it, the number.
Right.
As with any fees,
the intent is to cover your administrative costs. Your administrative costs can include a lot of stuff, and you do want to make sure that the theme, that there is some relationship to the expenses of municipalities incurring as opposed to just being a really random number.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, waiving the fees, I would build in specific exemptions into the ordinance. What you can't do is just kind of do it on that.
Okay.
So,
but you could exempt, you know, nonprofits if you wanted to.
Right.
And that's typically the kind of exemptions you would see.
I would, yes, I would be too. So where do townships as exempt? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So there are already among the exemptions. Governmental agencies,
right.
When it's within the scope of their functions, they don't need a permit. Township obviously doesn't need a permit for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Board of Ed does not need a
permit.
Emergency volunteer services, except if they involve the closure, obstruction of public roads,
right. Which is reasonable.
And then non-commercial, this can be very important.
Right.
Be clear, this is not trying to reach, you know, private parking. This is really,
exactly.
It's a commercial or stuff that is public,
right.
It's open to
and,
the public.
And I wouldn't want to
block party.
Right, a block party.
Block party, yes, that would be covered because that is now involved in it.
And that's where I was like, the fee seems, the fee apparently, unfortunately, I think is a one size fits all. I mean, you have large events that have lots of people, and then you have a block party, which is kind of smaller, neighbors hang out, and we do have some of those in town.
Right,
so it's a bit of a balance, and there are ones that I wouldn't want to exempt, and I wouldn't actually want to exempt a block party because
they
typically do call into the office and say, can somebody let the police know we're going to want to shut the road?
Right.
So having a process, I think,
right.
Makes some sense. Whether or not we want to charge a fee or what fee we want
right.
to charge for that, I think.
Right. And the exemptions that I
wouldn't charge $100 for a block
party. No. Those exemptions are, you don't even need a permit to begin with.
Yeah, right.
And
I wouldn't do
you're
that.
You're correct.
Yeah.
And they also want to go over
a fee structure.
A fee structure.
Okay.
I can't, you know, I think you could look at what the town of Clinton does. I don't recall what they're talking
That was a really lengthy form.
It's a very lengthy form. I don't recall what they have about
the
structure.
I didn't either. I looked at the form. I didn't see it.
What did you say that where?
So Raritan actually has some exemptions built in, and I sort of like them. So they're exempting churches, temples, synagogues, schools, which we have, YMCA. YMCA is in the Flemington Fairgrounds, because in our world, I'm thinking,
we have a YMCA.
Well, we have a Y. We've got the Baptist Conference Center.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the schools handled. I think the schools, we've got a regional high school, so we probably need to consider including that one.
Yeah,
and the BOTAC.
It's a
so that one becomes an interesting conundrum to me, though.
Yeah,
because
well, nice.
Yeah. Every football game is an event, then, but they're exempt. Except I could argue the overflow parking obstructs a road. So then would they be captured in this thing again? Which is not the intent, but they...
It's slippery slope, that one.
Well,
actually,
if they're sponsoring a race, for instance, it's going to be
They do, they
so
should
think
have
right.
the
run of
the
lines.
So that should then,
right.
who's exempt
they could
from
bring it back.
To get a permit and go through
right.
the review process
right.
versus who's exempt
right.
from paying.
And I draw a distinction between overflow parking when they do shut regional roads for a short period of time for the Running Alliance. That's an event. They shut it just like on a Sunday for a couple hours. And they just, at least they're helping with some Rio Death. I was trying to think through this saying, you know, the Immaculate Conception, for instance, had their festival for 20 odd years or what have you.
Yep.
And I think, as far as I understand, fairly well coordinated with the township and all of that, I think.
Yeah.
The fire department and all of that. So, you know, putting a fee on top of that, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with the fee. I actually don't know.
Well, they get a social affairs permit from the ABC.
Right, well, so that was.
Yeah, and they probably get health permits for the food.
I'm sure they do. So, which actually raises another question I had was, if an event is already paying another fee, let's say the firework fee for the Baptist camp or something like that, I personally feel a bit badly than getting a... events fee on top of that, or I feel like double dipping a bit, but it's not that the fee is huge, because $100 probably doesn't cover our costs, but I'll know more about that in a few weeks. I personally would like to do a few more exemptions for maybe the churches.
I wouldn't do an exemption, but in certain circumstances, I wouldn't do an exemption. I would do an exemption from a fee.
Well, the block parties, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do a blanket exemption for a nonprofit or a church.
Well, the nonprofit wasn't on my list.
But I hear you, because you still want them to at least follow.
Coordinate. I mean, it does put some structure around what's happening informally now, I think,
right.
What we're saying, right?
Correct.
Although it works, there's no guarantee in 5 years that we continue to work. We don't know.
Right. Or somebody might do something different, right.
Right, and I can think of an example where they had, I don't remember the context, they had a pilgrimage, the Diocese of Metuchen, going from some place to Immaculate Conception in St. Joe's and Ivory. Remember, this was like 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Shutting the road.
Ground Valley Access Road, right?
Yeah, it was, or over by Hybrid, I think it might have been 640. It was, but it became a bit of an issue because no one knew about it, really, and all of a sudden there's a lot of people marching on the road, kind of closing the roads. It wasn't get out of hand, they were rabble-rousers, but it did. That's the type of thing I would say. March.
What I was most interested in, which I think sounds like everybody else is a trigger for a review to make sure all the ducks are in order.
Right.
There's been a review by the police department. There's been a review by whoever might need to touch it. If there's food, that they're getting the right permit. If there's alcohol. Raffles, exactly. Just so that everybody's covered.
So like a block party and you do fire department,
but maybe
that.
No, I think you can do an abbreviated one. It depends on what's applicable.
You do worry about things like, you know, where is the block party being held?
Right.
Is it all the way at the end of the road on the cul-de-sac where, you know,
right.
The only cars that are going to be there are the four houses at the end of the cul-de-sac, or are you closing off a larger stretch of road? You know,
right.
And one township, I think, it was rare, but one of them I read today, for block parties, they actually have a requirement that 50% or more of the people in the impacted neighborhood have to be notified and approved because you're impacting, you know, their health and well-being or something. So I'm not for saying I was pushed for that model, but I kind of take the point because let's say you live in a cul-de-sac, the five people who give you the streets are doing a block party blocking the road. Well, people who live in a cul-de-sac might not really enjoy that.
Or might not know about it.
Because it is a bit of a, I mean, the one thing I'm saying, are we coming up with a solution for a problem that doesn't exist? Because I haven't heard about a lot of complaints.
For block parties?
For block parties.
No, I think the block party thing is just, it just formalizes a notification process that, and a slight review that already occurred.
Anyway.
I just wouldn't charge people.
They want the police to know and the fire department.
Yeah.
If you have five houses, they need something together.
In many times, I don't have this sort of ordinance on the books. It can often put the zoning officer and others in a complete conundrum when people come forward and say, I'm holding a block party and I'm willing to close off three roads. Do we need anything? And sort of intuitively, it's like, they really ought to be talking to the police and everything else. We should have nothing on the books. And then the zoning officer calls me and is this even allowed? Is this a zoning violation? It's only a one-time thing, but on the other hand, it's a commercial activity in a residential zone. When you have something like this,
It's clear.
Yes, you're allowed to have it. Here are the parameters. Does it mean that if somebody holds a block party and they haven't pulled a permit, you know, you're going to send Chief DeRose out to shut them down and cite them?
If it's completely unsafe, yeah.
If it's unsafe, yes. If there's,
in fact,
you know,
that's something to go on.
But at least, but it also, you know, answers the question of whether you can have these things by saying, yeah, you can.
So right now in our ordinance, it's not necessarily permitted because it's not permitted use. It's just not permitted anywhere.
Not permitted.
Where it can become a zoning issue, for instance, is, you know, let's say it is sort of, could be considered like a quasi-commercial activity in a residential zone, and you're not allowed to have it.
Well,
and so then the question is, well, is it or isn't it? I mean, is it just like...
Right. But if there's a process, it could be approved.
Forget about the zoning. If you don't have something that says it's okay,
in theory it's not.
Well, forget about the zoning piece. You're literally obstructing traffic.
Right.
That's a
public safety.
State.
Right.
Violation. They could write it. Probably in the regular
municipal
police powers.
But I do think it's, to me, you know, however you structure it,
right.
It's entirely you guys want each other.
I just like the idea of having something on the books that at least ensures some review, creates a process, takes a lot of uncertainty.
And there's at least one event that occurred last year that this would alleviate a little bit of the concern in the zoning office where it's not permitted. It's not permitted use. It's private property. It's, what do I do when I get it in mind? And this way you've got a process.
Frank is saying it didn't register. What would happen if a bar has the music festival sort of beyond what they normally use bar, and a lot of people show up, and there's a lot of overflow parking on the streets in that area? Does that become an event, or is that just part of their commercial use? Because I tried to look at it and say, how would that fit in? And I...
It would be a commercial use that's over and above this normal. Is that covered in that?
Well, it talks about any commercial or fundraising event. So it can be concerts, races, parades, open funds, fairs, carnivals, anything like that.
Right. And when I marches to that.
There, there are places who, in Reddington's case, the Little Festival.
Right.
Obviously.
Someday.
You know, it can be, it occurred to me, this refers to seasonal farmer markets on non-agricultural property. I want to strike that because you already have an ordinance.
I have that same point, because we allowed it up at the church.
And, well, and you have specific stuff on the books now.
Right, that allowed it. Right. So we don't need that.
I want to take that out. I mean, you know, I would say, is it just, you know, got a little bit of live music set up next to our outdoor dining area to create some ambiance versus
an advertisement.
We're going to have a concert in our parking lot and draw additional.
That's that. That goes to the installation of a stage, band, shell, on private property where otherwise prohibited by ordinance. I don't think that's permitted on a bar, for example. I don't think that's permitted.
And that, yeah, that sort of thing. I mean.
Yeah, and this is where, you know. Item B, I think, you know, tries to capture a lot of stuff, which is, and I think appropriately, looks more to the impact of what's happening.
Right.
So, you're going to close the street, you're going to block or restrict access to public property, if you're selling merchandise on public or private property, it would otherwise not be allowed, and so they're putting it out, installing a stage, van shell, you know, trailer, portable buildings, by its hands. It does, I think, capture a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Can we maybe think of lemonade stand law?
There is a... No, it's very clear that it's not...
Okay,
it's not...
I feel bad about that.
Does the questions that we raised tonight, some of the points, does that affect this?
Well, based on the conversation, I don't think it's ready to be instituted for a public hearing. I think we have to tweak it. But that was the intent, okay. Was to really get it in front of everybody to have almost a work session.
Yeah.
Appropriate to share feedback on stuff. Could I send you an email about other
topics?
Okay. I don't want to go. I've got some
emails. No, I mean, I think it's important to.
Only that you can copy me. But
right. I don't want to create a quorum. That's more than two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
There was one thing I have to admit at the very back of it talks about, I guess if something happens to the event, the police can shut it down, I was fine with it. The seizure language did catch my eye. I'm imagining poor Chief DeRosa seizing like wagons at a block party or something. seizure language normal in this case? Maybe they needed to shut something down.
It's at the very end.
Sort of at the back.
Personnel shall have the authority to seize and confiscate any property, thing, or device used in violation of this chapter.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It just seems heavy-handed, doesn't it? I mean, how often would police have to seize something?
I think probably if you need to have something good. Technically, that's a seizure.
Oh.
Call the towing company.
Okay, I take it. Yeah, and it's up to normal discretion anyway, so not to be out there like, seizing wagons and tables and pails and small children and a dog. So break it up your block party and I'm taking the brownies.
Right.
I think we covered. I'm just looking for some of my notes.
So I would ask then that everybody take a good look at it. And any other comments?
Yes.
Suggestions?
So you're saying, so this $100, so we should look at each one and maybe think of a specific cost for that?
No, I don't think we need to do it quite that granularly. I think certain exemptions from the fee.
Right.
And then maybe for certain categories, just a lower fee, $25.
But
the large event is probably going to cost more than $100.
On the other hand, maybe you don't have $100 fee, you deserve $25 fee.
That could be true. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be raking in the money on this.
None of these fees are revenue.
They're not allowed to be. And the thing is, the fee is not intended, you know, for example, if you've got to have the police out there, you know, arrest, they've got to absorb some cost.
Right.
So it's not like the fee is trying to address all of those costs. It really is just processing the permit. So $100 makes something that you have.
That's why I asked the question again.
Especially for block party. I just don't feel that, you know, I don't know, I'd rather crawl before we run. If we find out that we're going to lose some money on fees, we can always address the fee in the future. The police side of things. So let's say the chief of the team says, oh, this is a big event. We're going to need a lot of police there. And it's sort of beyond what the township would normally do. Is there any way I could say that I have to hire...
I think we have an overtime statute in the ordinance.
You already have an overtime, but there are...
But that's elsewhere.
This ordinance also speaks specifically...
Yeah, I wasn't clear about that piece. Because another town actually has an example that said, if it requires more than three police officers, you've got to hire them. That seemed too prescriptive to me.
Here, if the chief of police deems it necessary to have additional police officers made available for the purpose of preserving the public health, blah, 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 during the course of the event, then chief has to so advise the applicant, and if the additional expenses or costs are incurred for the purpose of providing that protection, then the whole attorney is required to pay.
So that would kind of go to that
statute. So in other words, it gives the chief some discretion, and it may be that the chief looks in and says, it's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just have one of the patrol officers just sitting by periodically. On the other hand, if they're going to have to take manpower away from other stuff to devote to this activity, chances are, number one, there's going to be a little bit more involved.
Sure. Like if it's full-time directing traffic.
Whatever it is, the event holder is going to have to... assume responsibility for those costs. So when we're hire extra duty officers, that's another
way. It's a construction project that they've just signed a patrol officer, shut the road for the people like putting those, stringing those cables. Do they pay us back for that?
They pay for the labor and they pay for the vehicle.
Yeah.
And the other administrators. Right.
So it's the same sort of model. It's over and above the normal policing. The idea here is that,
in this way,
a block party would not have that, but a big festival might have.
And it's not a drain on the resources. And
right, and that's the concern.
But at least this this leaves it to the discretion of the police, because these are operational determinations that are being made. I think I look at precinct parade, so we think it's something similar. That's really limited to just the use of public schools and public spaces.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They're going to have to start committing manpower to keep things under control, and the event holder has to be covering
it. Yeah, Flemington has a whole lot of stuff on that. Great stuff.
Yeah.
There are rooms and stuff on that.
I didn't look at them.
I
think precinct doesn't have a special events ordinance. It just...
All right. I mean, the fact that we have nothing, we need to have some parameters around it, and you're right, it's difficult now.
The alternative is we're going to end up having some people show up here and say, I used to do X, Y, and Z, or I'd like to do X, Y, and Z, and we're on the internet.
Right.
This is not permitted.
There was one comment like that that only permitted special events in commercials. Full prohibition residential, I thought that was a bit heavy-handed. But I like the idea here that there can be some discretion. Some towns did, just a matter of efficiency, I don't know if we'd want to go there. They had their police chief grant for purpose. Didn't have to come necessarily to council. You could have a police chief and administrator, I think, was one model. So I don't know.
That's another question, as to what extent.
I don't think a block party should have to come to that. It's almost like the site plan waiver idea.
Frankly, ideally we would set it up so that it truly is an administrative process.
Right. More of a checklist.
More of a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
rather than having it involve council discretion.
Right.
I know, again, for instance, in Crimson, the parade permits, those do not come from the governing body, but of course, you're also talking about there's a lot of First Amendment law involved, and you don't want, because you can't, it has to be absolutely clear cut.
Well, I was also thinking timing, because all of a sudden, now we have to get it in there soon enough that we can get it, and it's on the agenda, and like, you know, for a lot of these things, for a block party.
One option could be that make an administrative process. If somebody feels like their permit is been denied,
I like that.
That's fair.
The only, I guess, the only question, I could talk to Sharon Dragan about why Reddington opted that kind of potential community, because that ensures like some visibility, and then if you start getting calls from the public. Oh my God, how did somebody allow this to happen?
The town of Clinton has a vote to the council as well. It goes to their governing body.
My preference, especially if you're talking about activities with closure issuing permits, I would prefer to see an administrative process.
It's an excellent point.
Number one, for pretty obvious reasons. Right. It's, it streamlines things, and it takes the, I can also see why on some of the events you might want it coming before you, if for no other reason than it makes it it's out there, and if somebody's got some serious concern, you don't need to do it.
I kind of prefer to be more administrative. I'm struggling with mine, if it's fair to like, plus it just at least she portion be the administrator, or the two of them, or someone else.
I would not toss it solely.
No, it seems unfair, because there's the coordination of all the other departments.
Correct.
Not that she couldn't do that, and he can, but he's got to
do it. That sort of, if it's really just making sure that, the various departments have been needed.
Right.
I think where it becomes a little fuzzier, for instance, is, let's say that they're in their medical arts units.
Right.
Who is looking at that and saying, you can't even have it, so you have, does it have to be soundproofing? In one neighborhood it might be completely fine, in another neighborhood it might not be fine at all.
Parcel, who cares, but if you're...
A wacky thought on the waiver of site plan, that we don't call waiver site plan,
administrative waiver.
We essentially have an opportunity for the approving, through the administrative process, the approving party to throw the flag and say, this is too much for me. It's got to go to the thing.
But they work for it up.
So in other words, it could be dealt with administratively, but in certain circumstances, bound.
Yeah, that's sort of like we did with the waiver.
Now, I will tell you again, it's not like I'm parking on Princeton, it's just that some of these issues come up there. They do have something in their code dealing specifically just with amplified music. So they don't have a whole special events ordinance, but anyone who's going to have an event for whatever reason, whether it's going to be amplified music, that does have to be approved by the governing body. It's done routinely, you assume, on the consent agenda.
Right.
It's no big deal, but I think it at least, may afford some kind of, we need to know what the hours are going to be and what the impact is going to be to the neighborhood. Propose having a band show in Annandale at 4 in the morning, you guys might want to say no to that versus no harm.
I kind of like that approach that Brian mentioned, that it's administrative, unless the building officer, with the same language we have in the zoning ordinance, where the approving officer, for the reason, doesn't feel they can do it.
The uncle clause.
Yeah, I mean, it causes the timing becomes harder for an applicant then, because we make it short, then it's got a bothering body, but we can
figure it out. I mean, for a little tiny thing, it's really simple, it's not
should never come. I mean, if a big thing, they should be doing it well in advance. I do like the idea of allowing you to streamline. A lot.
So much for cut and paste.
No, but cut and paste gets started. And you're the one who specifically
from where was this crafted from? This is the Reddington.
This is from Reddington.
Clinton does not actually have anything.
I couldn't find it.
Codified, at least that Eric could find it, did not
systematically
book, but they have a whole
nice
very good score. I can tell you that Administrator Close wants, you know, to have that form circulated to, you know, internally to the various departments and, you know, committees that are going to be involved, just to see what feedback you get. And I can certainly talk to him as well about, all right, how do we make this more administrative? How do we make our vote, you know, and so on. Okay.
I mean, little picky, if we need to lock and line up or tax assessment, tax collector, say they pay their taxes.
Is that anything?
Well, we say the tax, the collector has to say they pay their taxes, get a permit, and she'll be able to do that if we involve a lot, only involve blocks and lots. So it's just like a thing on an application.
Yeah,
that's
an issue.
No, exactly. Because happy to think the car will go back. I need this information to get it done. Sorry. I do these things all the time.
Yeah.
Good.
Not as long. I did expect it to
stop.
Because I had some misgivings if you would, too, but it wasn't one of those
definitely
things.
Definitely would like to look at the cost being more. Yep.
Actually, $25 should be.
Yeah.
Actually, if we just did a blanket, $25. If you're having a block party, everybody gets a
$25. $25, but it's not,
I was just thinking personally, like, if I had as a person in my neighborhood, I really wouldn't have a block party. It really lends itself to. Someone said to me, $100
or $25. I couldn't have a block for it. I mean, it's a small square block, but if people cut through to go to the line, it would be
nice.
We're
at the end of a...
You
should be denied.
Right. It would be
or,
denied.
Or require some at least barricade.
But not have to pay the police.
Are we all good?
Yeah, I think so. That was great.
I mean,
well,
are
you with?
Yeah,
we could.
You
talked about it.
Really?
It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
We'll open it up now to... we're not going to make any motions on... introduction. Just a moment to work. We have plenty of notes taken by the Mayor Council. We will now open to our final public comment session. I see a public member who'd like to make a comment. Come on down.
Hello. Craig Naylor, Avondale. Just in your discussion, two things. One was, how about if someone's having in a private house a wedding of 100 people,
that's covered. It
it would not be
it would be exempt. Okay. It's private property and it's not public event.
Okay,
correct.
The other thing is, just from my own experience, and I don't know whether it would ever apply out here, just as an FYI, I have a summer home in Bricktown, and they've experienced a lot of people. I got a big built-in pool. You have a train station here. They advertise on this media, hey, I'm having a party this weekend, a swim party, or our, not B&B, whatever they are. I don't know how they do it.
Oh,
but
didn't we handle that in our Airbnb thing that you can't rent your pool?
That may be covered.
I think it is, because I think at the time we talked about pool rental.
Because I know
put that in
surrounding towns, Bricktown, Point Pleasant, Tom's River, Seaside, it took off on a train station.
Yeah.
Your town ain't going to hold it with the police department. They had mutual aid from 10 towns.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it's addressed, but if you're doing your design of this.
I think our existing ordinance on
the property owner is responsible.
I'm trying to remember what that was called.
It was short-term rental.
Short-term rental.
Short-term rental.
Yes.
And I know we had a conversation with the pool thing, because that happened at that time.
You're right.
That they started renting pools.
We were aware of it at the time, and that was part of the discussion.
Now, that's a great the rub is going to be, when people throw parties like that, they don't check the ordinance.
No.
So by the time we find out about it, we'll hit them with the ordinance.
At least if you have something to protect the guys
falls in,
that's
right.
coming for call,
you
can't do anything.
I mean, and this ordinance does give the police a little more, because what happens is, if they do this, if it's a violation,
they shut it right
down. The violation says it's a $12 or $15 fine, up to $12 or $15 fine, depending on this.
And then depending on how much the public safety measure is, maybe
And then they have the authority, because you voted on it, to shut it down right away and stop it.
Correct.
And call mutual aid, we need more guys here. Gosh, it's 500 just showed up. I know the state park, Round Valley has it, when they start getting too much large group, they'll shut the park down.
Right. Memorial Day, that'll happen.
Yeah. Well, just for large parties, they've had it.
Right.
Island Beach, they've had problems with the groups. Everybody knows by, hey, go to Station 22. Everybody shows up, and next thing you know, you've got two guys. What am I going to do here? And they get rowdy.
Right.
Quick.
These are the social media stuff out there. So yeah. They're inviting online or something.
By the time they realize it,
flash mobs.
Yeah, by the time you guys realize that it's too late, but at least they got help, the power to protect them.
The high bridge thing.
Yeah, the
oh, with the lake.
That was an absolute, they didn't have the resources to police.
Oh, it's all
horrifying. It's an absolute nightmare. Right. Absolute nightmare. That was COVID times. Sometimes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to close the public comment session. That was public.
Thank you, public. If there's nothing else, I will make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switler?
Yes.
Council President
Brown?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. All right, everyone have a good night. Thank you.
Dad.
Can they just pass them in the computers anymore? They're all locked in.
No, they
remember years ago, you had to slide in and out?
No, not this one.
Oh. I'll call.